We are still in the 18th verse of 1 John chapter 2. Let's read it, refresh our minds. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. And by this we know it is the last hour. Here, the context of children, he's speaking to all of the Christians, the young in the Lord, the young men in the Lord, or the younger Christians, and the fathers, those that are deeply spiritual. But in this word, children, he's referring to them as an apostolic father, as one who lays foundations, apostolic, as Paul considered himself the spiritual father for the Corinthians, when they went about and established churches in various areas, they were considered spiritual fathers, and they had the right to come back later and keep a check on them and make sure things were progressing. So he's speaking to all of the Christians in the area that he's writing to as being children of God, as being his spiritual children. And he says, and the last time you have heard, called the end times, as we would see them, that the Antichrist is coming. He's probably referring more to Paul's teaching here, or the same teaching that Paul speaks as one who will come, an individual, and he will rule most of the earth under the devil's power and with the help of a false prophet who will sway many. Yet John is focusing on the present Antichrist, the plural, those that bring in heresy, false teachings, even speaking against Christ's nature and who he is. Do not believe in the virgin birth. Do not believe in the divinity of Christ and his oneness with the Father, that he was not the true Messiah, the anointed one. And so now there will be many Antichrists. He says, and we know it is the last hour. The last hour refers to the end times. We call it the church age. It will be the summing up of God's revelations. During the church age, after the apostolic foundations, there will be no new revelation. Then God will work out his purposes, not only in the body of Christ, but during the millennium when he sets up an earthly kingdom, and the body of Christ most likely will be removed either by the rapture or judgment, but most likely the rapture. So in some scriptures, Paul informs us, the apostle, that the Christian, the body of Christ, is a restraining force. We are the salt of the earth. And when the Lord removes this by rapture or the catching away of his saints, there will be nothing to restrain the evil. And then it's right for the Antichrist and the false prophet to come to their full power with all signs and wonders, called lying signs and wonders, and the power of the devil. This is God's way bringing about his judgment he's going to bring. He lets them flourish. He lets them come to a head, and then he deals with them. He will do the same after the period of the Antichrist and false prophet. When he returns, he will destroy them and the wicked of the world, and the millennium will be ushered in by those righteous who are left. It won't be many. And during 1,000 years, they will breed and multiply. And for the first part of the millennium, they will be righteous and serve the Lord. And then toward the end, the devil will be let loose. He'll be restrained during the millennium. And he will lead the masses against the Lord. And the Lord will finally speak by his word and destroy the wicked and set up a new heaven and a new earth. So many things are going to happen. Yet John is focusing on the present day to him, Antichrist, whom he calls Antichrist. They come in and they bring heresies. They're like the Judaizers. Most of them were not Christians, were ever not Christians. They're of the group at judgments that the Lord will say, I never knew you. They joined and mingled, but like the people did when Moses led the children of Israel out, the scripture says a mixed multitude went with them. A lot of Gentiles joined them to escape the judgment of Egypt, but they didn't convert really to Judaism. And they were the ones that tempted the Jews to go back and rebel, and they should have stayed behind. So they were not true converts to the Lord. And so we'll see that this is what happens when you have false Christianity spreading throughout the world. The world is not a white for harvest anymore. When Jesus came, it was. He said, the harvest is white and the laborers are few. We're on the other end when the great darkness is coming, when it will be as the days of Noah and Lot, and very few people be interested in spiritual things. And this makes it ripe for the spirit of Antichrist. Okay. So he says, we know it's the last hour, the last times because of this, the end time or the church age. The present Antichrist, or the ones during John's time and ours, they are laying foundations for greater and further evil. Even before the first generation, the apostolic teaching was over, the church is established, they already had wolves among the flock. They already had people and heretics leading astray people who were not sound in doctrine. That's why the teachings of the apostles was very strong on removing such people from church gatherings, from not allowing them or permitting them in their fellowships. We don't seem to practice this anymore, and therefore we get the results of not doing this. Most of the 2 billion professing Christians of the world are of the false and antichrist spirit. See, they've mixed all kinds of teachings. That's why the great Jezebel, the great whore that he speaks about, which probably is the Roman Catholic Church along with the liberal Protestants, the outward manifestation of so-called Christianity, is false. And she's called an adulteress because she mixes every other kind of belief with Christianity, and it's false. It's no longer Christianity when they do this. Under Moses, those who brought in false teachings from other tribes were put to death. They were not tolerated among the people of God. The true churches today, which are rare and few and far between, their duty is to expel and to remove those who are false and who do not hold to sound teaching. You do not give them a foot. You do not give them an entrance. As Paul said, after 2 or 3 warnings, you have nothing to do with them. You put them out. They're not to have fellowship. So we see how evil will take over so-called Christendom, but it's not truly the true church of Christ. Verse 19, they, these heretics, these antichrists, they went out from us, but they were really not of us, like the Judaizers. For had they been of us and in fellowship with us, they would have remained with us. But they left us, so it would be shown that they are not of us. Not only did they leave them, John and them had them expelled. Those who tried to establish themselves as teachers and leaders were removed. The local churches did not tolerate these, did not tolerate, as Paul would not tolerate, the Judaizers, those who come in and mix some Christian teaching, and yet behind them their foundation was faulty, as the Judaizers were trying to say, oh yeah, you can believe in Jesus and you can believe he's the Messiah, but you still have to be circumcised and adhere to the law of Moses, which was false. Therefore, the Apostle Paul went up before the apostolic teachers, and they agreed with him. This could not be and was not to be tolerated. So many professing Christians, as we know, are not of the true Christian fellowship and teaching. We're not talking about buildings and denominations. They're nothing in themselves. They're simply something people put together. It's where two or three Christians gather together to worship and pray and serve the Lord. That's where the body of Christ is. Everything else is irrelevant. See, what we've had is many hundreds of denominations has come forth over several centuries, and some of them may have started off good, but their children and their grandchildren did not continue with it. Oh, they kept the church going, and they kept the denomination going, but they didn't believe, and they didn't adhere to sound doctrine, and they brought in heresies, and these are the predominant so-called churches in the world. They are run by the spirit of Antichrist. They are not ministers of the Lord. They're ministers of the devil. The majority are deceived, and many of them think they're Christians, and therefore they can be convincing to many people. They believe their own lies. As Jesus said, when the blind leaders, he meant, and teachers lead the blind people, they both fall into the ditch. Ultimately, the ditch is hellfire, a spiritual destruction. So we're seeing many profess, but they do not have true Christian fellowship. They do not adhere to true Christian doctrine, which simply is teaching. They're heretics, those who add or take from sound teaching. They are spots in the love feast that Paul talked about and the apostles talked about. They come and have communion and celebrate with the Christian love feast, and they come imitating the sheep. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, but their heart is not changed. They're messengers of the devil. They want to bring forth, today we would say, New Age teachings. They want to mix other religions of the world and call it love and unity. So much of what is this we call the ecumenical movement is from the pit of hell. There is no fellowship of Christians and Jews, as you see things advertised. The Jews are not Christians. We can only have fellowship with those who are true Christians. But those who propagate this are not even true Christians, so it makes sense for them to get along with anybody because they're willing to compromise anything to get along. So the great so-called ecumenicalism is nothing but the spirit of Antichrist working, altering the truth or refusing to accept the truth. And people think it's wonderful. And because the majority of people do it, people are foolish. They think, oh, well, if the majority are doing it, it must be right. As I've said for many years, the majority of people will end up in hell. So the majority opinion is not always correct. In most cases, it's false. And so when people look at numbers and think that proves anything, then look at those in hell. They're going to far outnumber those who make it into the kingdom. And they'll find out that they were wrong. And the masses of Christianity that say, Lord, Lord, are going to be consigned to the lake of fire. And Jesus will say, you're lawless. You're workers of iniquity. And he said, you do not do the will of my Father. I never knew you. He makes it very plain. Yet they believed and they professed to be Christians. So they do not hold the Antichrist spirit. They do not hold the true foundation of apostolic teaching, the teachings of Christ. They take over. They've done this now. They've taken over the outward, what we call Christianity. For several hundred years in the world, Roman Catholicism, longer than that, and then the liberal Protestants have claimed to be Christianity. Other religions think that they are Christianity. They're not Christianity. They're a false form of Christianity. Most of the world has not seen true Christianity, and it's going to get narrower, and they're going to see less of it. God's word has gotten to all of the world, and the world is rejecting it. As Jesus said, in general, people love darkness rather than light, and therefore they will not come to the light lest they be corrected. Well, we're seeing the other end now. We're seeing it enter into the days of Noah and Lot. But we have to see this has to happen before the Antichrist can come to power. He's not just going to come on the scene and just take over. By the time he comes on the scene, the masses are ready for it. They already have been deluded and perverted and rejected true Christianity, so they'll welcome him with open arms, see? So it has to work out now. It's like a woman being pregnant. Before she has her baby, she's got to go through 5 and 6 and 7 months of labor. So before the Antichrist can come and the false prophet, the wickedness must abound and grow, and then it will happen. When the Lord removes the true body of Christ, the salt of the earth will be removed. There will be no restraining factor. The Holy Spirit's influence is basically within the true body of Christ. It's not in the world. We are the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. And when that church, that body is removed from the world, then the devil will have full sway for a short period of time. And remember when Paul spoke of this Antichrist, when he comes, they're ready for it because they're underlying spirits. He said, because men love not to acknowledge the truth, God will give them over to a strong delusion. See, he'll send evil spirits or allow them to come and do it. He said that they shall be damned. So we see the results is the world as a whole has consistently fought their conscience, or fought the outward signs of nature, have fought the gospel that has been given in many degrees, and therefore the Lord will say, okay, you have rejected the truth, or you don't want the truth, I'm going to send you lying spirits, and you will believe them. And he's done this to Israel. He's done this to various backsliders. He continues to do this because that is how he works with wickedness. When his patience runs out, when his long suffering runs out, when people consistently reject the goodness and the inner law of the conscience and reject the gospel and apostolic teaching, which is promoted by the Holy Spirit, finally the Spirit will not strive with them anymore. He will give them over to lying spirits. The last generation that he's talking about, most of them will enter into blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Very few of them will be saved. But even during that time, there will be some saved. They will be martyred. They will be churchgoers and people who know some sound teaching, but they didn't practice it. And when they see the true body of Christ gone, they know by teaching that they'll have to give up their life and they'll have to die for their Christianity. The person that is caught up with the Lord is already taking up his cross daily. He's already practicing self-denial. He does not need to get ready like the five foolish virgins tried to do. They were ready. So when the Lord comes during this upcatching or this rapture or taking away, there will be no time for anyone to get ready. You're either ready or you're not ready. But then those who are left behind, many of them, have enough Christian teaching and enough truth to know where they missed it. And they'll know why they were left. And then they will know they will have to die for their Christianity because they refused to live for Christianity when they had a greater grace and opportunity to do so. So in outward Christianity, this is what's taken over. That's why I always say the majority of all denominations and churches are false. The spirit of Antichrist rules them. They're compromisers. They're liars. They pervert the word of God. They do not admonish. They do not warn. They do not reprove wickedness. Under the Old Testament, God reproved the false prophets, and he told them, if the people and them, he said, if they were true prophets of the Lord and speak my word, they would turn my people from their evil ways. They weren't doing that. They were giving them false prophecies. They were telling them peace, peace, and God's going to give you victory over the foreign armies. They lied to him because God destroyed them. God had them taken away into captivity. He did not honor these false prophets that spoke the scripture said they spoke out of their own mind and they had seen nothing. They were not given true visions or dreams. They made up things and the people wanted to believe it. So they wanted to believe everything's okay and God's going to defend us, but he won't. He never will hold or defend the wicked. Those who are professing Christians or those who have backslidden, they will get no defense from the Lord. What they will get, the apostle warns them, Apostle Peter, swift destruction. When a professing Christian who doesn't know the Lord, he's already in the state of deception. When a backslider falls away by entering into adultery or fornication or goes back to the world, God's patience does not stay with them. He says, repent quickly. That was Jesus' word to the church. He wasn't going to give them months and years to think about it. He said, repent quickly, lest I take your lampstand away. What was the lampstand? It was the very presence of the Holy Spirit that made the church a true church. Where two or three gathered together to worship, Jesus said, I am in their midst. By the power of the Holy Spirit, there's where the lampstand is. Those who do not adhere to his word nor submit to his lordship have no lampstand. They have a messenger of the Antichrist that stands in their pulpits. So they leave sound godly teaching. They don't recognize true Christian authority, for they are false. So some of these people will endure for a while, but then they will fall away when trials and testings come to them to prove their loyalty to Christ. See, we're now talking about those who did come to the Lord through the preaching of sound doctrine, the preaching of the truth. We're not talking about those the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. We're talking about those who will fall in to the category of the five foolish virgins. They lost the light because they gave out of oil. They lost their standing with Christ, for they slept and they were spiritually lazy and fell away by their actions, by their deeds, by their spiritual laziness. And so when people come to the Lord, it's God's intention to test and sift them at various levels to prove their loyalty. And all Christians go through this at various levels. There is no standing still in the Lord. We are promised through much tribulation we will enter the kingdom. We go through battles and we have to win them. And if we lose too many battles, we lose the war. And so he warns us to get grounded, to get rooted in the word, to prepare ourselves for the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's God's intention. It's our probation here to be faithful and loyal to the end of our natural lives here. So when many become worldly and lukewarm and carnal, they become deceived. And what happens is, in the age we live in, these are the ones who are running the denominations. These are the ones that are running the local church buildings and stuff, and they are driving out those who are sound in faith. They don't want them around. They disturb them. They are too hard. They are too narrow. We just need to love each other and get along. All sounds good, but it's false doctrine. It's not based on sound doctrine. So they will drive them out, and this is what has happened, and bring in teachers with itching ears, teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear and will help them grow a church and get numbers and make money. That's what the pastors want and the leaders. If you please enough people, they'll give you lots of money. This is the way the world is. In Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and verse 23, Jesus speaking, but blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven. For so in so manner the fathers did to the prophets. They persecuted them and drove them away because they did not want the truth. They wanted to be liked. They wanted to get along. They don't want to make people uncomfortable. I've heard many people say, well, I go to church to be lifted up. God has no purpose in lifting you up if you're in sin, if you're in rebellion, if you're worldly, if you're lukewarm. He has a reproof for that person. But see, they don't want that, so that God sends them lying shepherds. He allows the Antichrist spirit to deceive them. See, this is God's judgment. They don't want the truth. God reacts to this eventually. He's not neutral in this. Those who reject the Spirit get rejected by the Spirit. Those who resist the truth get sent a lie. God will send the great delusion. Demonic spirits, see, they're under his control. People forget it's God's devil. He's the great economist. He doesn't waste anything. If people don't want to serve the Lord, he'll send evil spirits to them. See, they don't like that, but that is the truth. So mega churches, most denominations that profess Christianity do not endure sound teachings. They will not endure sound preachers or exhorters. It disturbs them. It's meant to disturb them. A person that's sound in faith and their conscience is clear can hear anything preached. They can hear sermons on a lake of fire, and it gives them an awesome fear of God's wrath and judgment, but they can be at peace and know that it doesn't apply to them because they are walking with the Lord. But as the Apostle Peter said, you know these things, but I'm going to keep telling you these lest you forget them. See, even those sound in faith can be tricked and led astray by not being watchful and sleeping, as he warned. That's what happened to the foolish virgins. They slacked off on their spiritual oneness with the Lord. They slacked off on their duty to the Lord. They began to backslide without knowing it. They began to mingle and fellowship with the world, the flesh, and yet outwardly they still believed. And a lot of them were lied to by demon spirits. Oh, you're okay. Look around. You're as good as anybody else. But see, that demon doesn't tell them that most of the people you're looking at, they're going to end up in hell also. See, that's the danger. People need to realize numbers mean nothing in spiritual matters, okay? So they will not endure. They will not put up with these people. We're there now. They will not abide anything that hinders their belief in the lies and false confessions of Christianity they consider. Those which tolerate any false teaching that reproves, rebukes, and exposes evil and practicing sin, these are false, and they are false messengers that tolerate it. And they use the name of God to do this. How often? Oh, well, God understands. Well, he knows. You know, make all these excuses that will hold no water with God. See, they make up their own rules. They've got their own concept of who Jesus is. And therefore, they will say, Lord, Lord, the majority of these professing Christians. And they think that they're Christian. And when they live like the world and mingle somehow, they think Jesus understands. That's the danger of ultra-Calvinism. That's the danger of once saved, always saved doctrines. Oh, well, at least I'll make it to heaven. I may not get no rewards, but I can live here and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. These are demon spirits that propagate. These are Antichrist teachings. See, this is what it produces in people, okay? So if they don't care for the things of God and they don't really love the truth, then we find out what will happen to them. And they practice sinful, self-indulgent lifestyles. Watch the person and how they live and how the world captivates them. It'll tell you a lot about people, tell you what they really believe by watching them and observing them. When they can spend hours with everything and yet never open their Bibles, that alone reveals they don't know much about God. especially when these people have claimed to be Christians, but dead in 20 and 30 years. These are false Christians. They're people who got a wrong gospel. They're people who did not endure when they got the gospel, but they still want to be religious. They still want to believe that they're okay with God. It's called a delusion. That is the spirit of Antichrist. It's a lying spirit. It condones sin. It excuses sin. It tells people, well, even if you're wrong, you'll get right later. God understands. Yeah, he does. He understands everything. So these are false Christs. The ministers are false Christs. As Jesus said, many will come in my name, and many will believe them, more so than it's going to believe the truth. These are antichrists. They may use his name. They may say, I've come in the name of God. They believe this. Most false religions, most people in the world are under some form of false religion, but they believe they have the truth. They believe they are serving God. They really do. That's what deception does. Therefore, in Christendom, it will be the adage, Lord, Lord, and he will say to them, I never knew you. And why I didn't know you is because your lifestyle, not what you say you believed. He'll tell these people, yes, you believe I'm the Lord. You believe I'm the Christ, the Son of God. You believe I died on the cross. But you are workers of lawlessness. See, your actions is what I look at. As we said before, all the judgments of God in the Bible and in the future judgments in the book of Revelation have to do with people's works, their action. Not one of them has to do with a person's belief. See, from God's perspective, if you believe it, then put it into practice. If you don't put it in practice, the Apostle James says, then your Christian faith is dead. It does not exist. See? That's why the Apostle James could say, you're not practicing loving your brother and sister. You're not helping them when you can, but you have money to indulge yourself and do as you please. He says, is this kind of faith going to save you? He's talking to those who profess Christianity. And he was giving them a rhetorical question. It was, no, it can't save you because it's a false faith. So faith without works is dead. Paul said, a grace that does not produce obedience to righteousness, it's not the grace of God. That's why the Apostle Peter, in the ending of his epistle, he said, this is the true grace. And he just previously talked of living right and doing right. He never once was taught about believing something mentally. He was taught about practicing it. As we said many times, the Gospel of John, it almost 60 times, uses the word believe, believed, and believing. And the context of the word is you believe to action. It's not just mental assent belief. It means you believe something to the point that you are practicing it. That's what true belief is. All other is mere mental assent, which the majority of Christians will give Jesus when he calls them into account. And they will say, Lord, Lord, not questioning that he is truly the Lord. They believe this, but they did not follow him. And therefore, as he said to disciples, why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do what I tell you to do? He's making it very plain. False teachers try to get around these scriptures. They try to say, oh, it's faith alone. Their faith is a false faith that produces nothing. So even the great teacher of faith, Paul, as Peter said, they pervert his teachings. They distort or torture his teachings, and he called them scriptures. He said, to their own damnation. So it began, they started in the beginning. They haven't ended. Many so-called Christian teachers are still perverting the doctrines of Paul, the doctrines of the apostolic apostles. They haven't changed because the devil hasn't changed. He's a deceiver and a liar. He comes as an angel of God to deceive people. He doesn't come up and say, hey, I'm the devil. No, he leads them into believing lies while they say, Lord, Lord. See? And so Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do? The word do means if you do not practice, if you do not work out what I tell you. Lord means you obey. Paul said, obeying righteousness leads to life, and obeying sin leads to death. So he said, those who are in grace have to obey righteousness. Does away with this nonsense of mere mental oblique in Christian teaching, or because you had a past experience. Oh, I've known people who've had past experiences, and some of them, I believe, have had true visions and seen the Lord and been spoken to. And now they're on their way to hell. Some of them are already there. See, they didn't continue in these things. Even the prophets of the Old Testament, some started off good and ended up bad. And that's why even in the New Covenant, the prophets are the judge. The words that are spoken by other prophets, because they know the devil can slip something in there and deceive people if they're not careful. That's why we're warned. Test the spirits, this apostle will tell us, and see whether it be of the Lord. He said, for many false prophets have come into the world, and they will deceive many. We might as well say they will deceive most, and they will deceive most who claim to be Christians, okay? So once we understand where we're at, we can deal better with the forces of darkness, and we do not let it discourage us if we end up being with a few people or alone serving the Lord, because that's what's going to happen up till the very time the Antichrist comes on the scene. When he says the days of Noah and Lot, remember there were only one righteous person at that time. Their families got in because they obeyed their father. But it was Noah who found grace in God's eye. It was Lot who was righteous. So that tells us a lot, that is that only one person? And Jesus said that's how it's going to be. See, the psalmist himself used it from plagues and stuff, but actually, it applies in the spiritual realm toward the end. He said, 1,000 shall fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left. There'll be a falling away from true Christianity even. He said, but it will not come near you if you make the Most High your habitation. So he says, you may see this around you, but don't let it take you. And we need to remember that. Let's go ahead and take a break here.